I mean, one of those pyramid books. I seem to go through one a night. Now, the books that I'm reading from are not necessarily available anywhere. Some of them are out of print. In fact, I'll bring in probably David Davison's original book one of these nights, and that's in the rare book category. The book I am offering you is by a good friend in the King's House, E. Raymond Capp, who spent much of his life researching in these areas. Now, he and I do not share the same viewpoint on some matters. I got a church full of people like that. I mean, everybody has a right to be wrong. In fact, it has been said that people will fight harder for something they've written down after they've written it than they would for the same thing if they hadn't said it. You get ego into your ink and paper. That's why I like to give other people's books away. I mean, I've been correcting the King James for 5 centuries. I often kid about the Bible I have. I sought the widest margin Bible I could find so I could write corrections. Now, you may think King James is good enough, Paul's good enough for you. If that's true, you better put the Apocrypha in, you good old Bible Belt friends of mine, and that's my heritage, because the King James had the Apocrypha in it, particularly the other books of Esdras. And Esdras is just simply Greek for Ezra, as Jesus is Greek for Joshua, and as Christ is Greek for Messiah. The Apocrypha was in the King James. Took the Puritans and the Bible societies to take it out. Now, my experience has been, bless their old hearts, because they put a standard of integrity into this land that was as important as our natural resources. But the Puritans took a lot of things out of our life. Now, the book I'm giving you is this one. Do not call Channel 33. They don't have it. Sorry. And they're crying uncle. I don't want them to hate me so bad. They say, we like your programming. The people in Dallas-Fort Worth like you. But we can't afford the personnel to man the telephones. Get lost. Help. Now, this book, as I've said, I don't agree with everything in it. I mean, you know. If Cap were here, he'd say, Scott's got a right to be wrong. And I'm going to allow him the right to be wrong about that. The main value of what is common to pyramid books is the basic information about its dimensions, about the history of the discovery of it, and particularly those inner passages that we are teaching on that just might have a prophetic message written in stone. Don't you get tired of pyramid? I mean, don't you get tired of prophecy preachers? And hey, sinners, don't go away. I'm not going to preach tonight. But I get so tired of turning on television on Sundays and hearing one preacher take me through the tribulation, another one lift me out of it. One of them take me out in the middle, one take me out in the end, one take me out in front. Now, depending upon your state of security, you either are left out totally or going and coming. Now, the Bible allows quite a few interpretations. That's why I want to tell you something. I have a faith. I'll prove it to you from the book of Romans. God wrote his message in the stars. Now, we have our own index. I mean, it's Protestants that were more scared of witches than anybody else. And we have our own inquisition. It's a little more subtle. And we have our own excommunication. We make the guy suffer. We don't even let him know he's been excommunicated. We just treat him that way. And the index, boy, you know, these witches and talking about the stars is of the devil. If I were God, I'd get mad at anybody discrediting my creative performance. God wrote his message in the stars, permanently fixed it up there. You want to know something about the precession of the equinoxes? He waited 11,000 years after he spun this old thing into space to start something happening at a given time. The Bible says everything goes according to his set times. You know, this will reach to the Jewish friends that listen to me. When you read in the book of Leviticus about the feasts of the Lord, by the way, they are called feasts of the Lord. We like to turn everything about God and the church into our feast. But the literal meaning of the word is set times of the Lord. God chose the people and says, they're going to talk for me. Disobedient though they were, when they got out of step, he would enter into their out-of-stepness and make it talk for him. He put into their calendar certain feast days, and Paul in the New Testament said they were a shadow of things to come because he intended those things that we've taken for granted as ended in their meaning, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Trumpets, all of those things we think they're past, they may have some spiritual meaning, They encapsulized a prophetic shadow that was cast that waits for the substance of God fulfilling them. But the Bible, you can sure argue about. Now, if the two witnesses, the thing is confirmed. When you got three saying the same thing, look out. Now, God wrote his message in the stars, and man's sin was to worship the creation instead of the Creator and miss the message and distort it, and there we have mythology. Some churches are so scared of mythology. In fact, I took a tour once. And when they ran into some of the statues in Rome and Greece, particularly those rather puritanical, I thought I was going to have to lead them blindfolded over the hills. Yeah, sure, God's never seen a naked man. And they were scared to death that if they kept walking, they'd lead him to a statue of one. Here we go again. Now, see, I start out making friends and I ruin it in 5 minutes. God wrote his message in the stars. I refuse to give that territory over to those who don't even believe in a God. You don't believe in a God to be my friend. I respect intelligent, non-God faith. I think it's a law of faith in this world. You're better off looking at a glass of water half full than considering it half empty. I really believe that faith is 90% courage, 9% tenacity, and 1% all that other stuff. And any man's better off moving forward rather than looking backwards. But Christianity gives its basis of faith, and God is a hard head. He doesn't need perfection because he's got it flying around him all the time. He can make you perfect. What God will not and cannot make you do is trust him when you have the freedom to do otherwise. And hard head that he is, if you want the only preaching I might do tonight, Matthew 13 says he bought the whole world. That's the biggest center in Dallas, Kentucky, and Los Angeles. He bought the whole damn world. Now, there are some people who would argue with that. They'd say, it's awful. He said damned. Well, what in the hell was it if not damned until he redeemed it? He bought the whole damn world. Including me. Now, there are very wonderful Christian friends of mine that know God couldn't save a person like me. See, I've had my own little thing going for years out here in California. I've never bragged about being a super lover. That's Christian loving, that is. Of course, I went home with Amazing Grace night before last and Precious Memories last night. Amazing Grace about did me in. Precious Memories, I survived. You that have been watching every night, you know exactly what I'm saying. Some poor tunnel vision saint just tuned me in and I'll hear about what I said for the next 5 years. One of my worst enemies called the other night and says, let Doc know I'm watching. He delighted me. They've prayed for my destruction for so many years, I just am sinful enough to salivate at the thought of them knowing their prayers weren't answered. Well, I have a joke going on in California. You know, God is more than love, you know. God is love, but love is not God. God deals with reality. And some people wouldn't damn the devil. They'd try to save him. I often say if some people who talk about Christian love really have it, why don't they start with me? I mean, I'm the most unloving person in the world. You want to learn to be a champion tennis player, find somebody who can beat you. And stay at it till you can beat them. I mean, if our effort redeems us, I am Christianity's practicing field. I mean, if they can make it with me, what they say about themselves is true. They all commit me to the devil and love somebody else. Ha ha! Except for Dallas, Fort Worth. They love me. I really believe they love me. I have found genius land. I hope the Lord delays his coming at least a week or two. I want to revel in this a while. Of course, the Lord won't come till next September if he's going to come in 1983. And I'll bet 84. Now, that feels that's awful. No man knoweth the hour of the day. That's right. Nobody knows when the Lord's going to come. I just know when he won't come. When he didn't come last fall, he won't come till next fall. Oh, my God. Just think of the sin he's unleashing. You take that bit and reins out of a preacher's hand, the Lord might come tonight. Better get out of that damn bar, the Lord might come tonight. You ever heard of heart attacks? Wrecks on freeways? I mean, you don't have to distort theology to make people honest. I'm telling you, the Lord will not come if he's going to come 1984 until next fall. Just think what you can do. Oh, God, help us now. Scott has unleashed all the sinners in Dallas, Fort Worth. Sammy's sitting up there singing, I once was lost in sin, and now I am again. Woo! You see, I believe that God is not so unattractive that he needs all these Berlin walls to keep you in. I'm tired of Christianity that I call East German brand. East German brand communistic Christianity. Build the walls so high they can't get out. Take them to heaven, put them in a tent, and don't ever let them see that anybody else made it. Plus, in fact, I like sinners. You know, I just can't help it. I like sinners. I'd rather be cussed by a sinner any day than to get a letter from a Christian that says, Dear Brother Scott, I wish to direct your attention to Matthew this and Mark that and James this and Zechariah that. You are an abomination unto the Gentiles, a stumbling stone to the world. Your mouth ought to be shut. You ought to be fried in oil, hung up by your ears, and your head cut off. I love you in Jesus' name, your brother. What do you mean you love me? Well, I love your soul, whatever that means. It means that becomes a Christian cop-out for hating me. My Bible says God commended his love toward us. How come I started preaching? Damn it, I didn't want to preach. God commended. I tell you what, I'm getting so close to Sunday, it's taking over. God God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I love you so. You change, and I love you. God loves you the way you are. In fact, he doesn't even want you worked over. He'll just put his life in you and replace you with him if you do what he really wants. And as I was saying, Matthew 13, he bought the whole field, whole world, all of it, every sinner, Hitler to Scott. Covered, paid for, that he might get the treasure in the field. And the treasure in the field is not old pompous Deacon Jones trying to prove he can act more like God than anybody else. It's that fellow out there that will trust him. Hey, as Niebuhr pointed out, the image of God in us will teach us a lot if we look very deep. There's not a father in the sound of my voice that wouldn't rather have the trust of his little boy than a perfect performance. That every neighbor would say, isn't that the model boy? And God's looking for that. That's my sermon. End of that. I'm on something else. I want to teach on this pyramid. God wrote his message in the sky. God also just might have written his message in stone. Now, it's pretty hard to change the movements of the stars. Oh, you know, you can fight over a diphthong in the Greek. I mean, entire denominations have split over a diphthong in the Greek. Now, me, I don't really think that God cares that much for a diddly-damn diphthong. DDs. But entire denominations split over a diphthong. Now, am I boring you?
No, sir.
Am I boring you?
No.
Diphthongs. I'm not talking in tongues. But I'm telling you, a pyramid inch is a pyramid inch. And it ain't ever going to be other than a pyramid inch. I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, somebody was right smart. If 4,000 years ago, I want to tell you something. I'll prove to you tonight if I can just stop what I'm doing long enough to start doing that. I'll prove to you tonight that Bechtel Corporation today could not build the pyramid. They couldn't go there and measure it and look at it the way it is now and build it. They could not build the pyramid. Somebody awful dang smart built it. I know all about that guy who built Coral Castle in Florida, too. Maybe if you had 100 like him, you could build it. But he never revealed his secret. Bechtel Corporation couldn't build it. The United States couldn't build it. The United States government could build a space platform easier than they could build this. It can't be done. Can't be duplicated. Contained in it, 4,000 years ago, the distance to the sun, the circumference of the globe, pi, the golden mean, the absolute distance from the north to the south pole, geniuses built it. And at least Josephus said, somebody that God talked to before the flood ever came, permanized some information there, and Isaiah says in the last days God's going to do something. He's going to point to a monument in stone in Egypt and say, I told you so. I mean, I'm telling you, boys, I told you. Not only that, I had some Arab clean the bat dung out so you can go there and look. Now, I'm fascinated by this thing. I didn't believe a word of the Bible. This thing fascinates me. We live in a scientific age, and every age has got to have its message. This pyramid is a scientific document. Now, some people, when they saw the truth, got so carried away, they engaged in overkill. Well, they did that with the Bible. James, the brother of the Lord, almost made the mistake of setting the date for the Lord's return. I won't do that, by the way. I just want to tell you, when he won't come, I'll take bets tonight. Got any money down in Texas? I'll bet anybody in the sound of my voice, the Lord will not come. He won't even come on my birthday, August 14th. He will not come until after August of 1984. You say you think he's going to come in 84? I don't know. I just know when he won't come. I'll bet anybody in the sound of my voice, he won't come before the end of August this year. And if he doesn't come between August and before December 1st of 1984, he won't come until the next year in the fall. Just think of that, 3 times. Woo! Now, I teach from many books about the pyramid, and I teach about a lot of things. We get on the pyramid for 2 or 3 days, and then I get bored with it, and we do something else. The book I'm giving you is free. It's published by a friend of mine. It's got all the diagrams. It's as well written as any book I know. We just differ on some prophetic ideas. For the end, he tells me he no longer... In the interpretation, when it moves from the pyramid to the interpretation of Daniel's 70th week, we have some arguments. But his information on the pyramid is exactly on target.